Welcome to ChiroSphere, where we talk about all things chiropractic and some things, well, not so chiropractic. I'm Dr. Ray Foxworth, your host for ChiroSphere and CEO of ChiroHealth USA, the network that works for chiropractic. Our guest today is Dr. Rosemary Bajanski. She is known by all for her infectious personality and her heart of gold. Known for her generous nature, she regularly volunteers for causes that are important to her and her family. A healer by nature, it's no surprise that she chose chiropractic as a profession. She's dedicated her life to giving back to the community and her profession. In 2017, she helped found the Women Chiropractors Nonprofit Organization, serving as its president until 2021. You'll also find her on stage as a sought-after motivational speaker and lecturer inside and outside our profession. Her topics include personal development, business strategy, human resources, communication, growth mindset, risk management, and leadership training. Sometimes the most challenging times in our life lead to the greatest moments of success. Rosemary has experienced this personally after being diagnosed with a life-threatening condition. She has surrounded herself with the best business mentors, programs, and training with her faith and sheer determination. She built the practice of her dreams, retired from clinical practice at 40, interesting, and now is living her best life. It didn't happen overnight. It required much effort, perseverance, and courage. She now finds herself more committed than ever to using her experience, knowledge, and passion for business and leadership to help others in chiropractic. Today, she's focused on consulting, mind your business, and is passionate about her new business, ChiroFlix. Dr. Rosemary, thanks for joining us today.
I am so excited.
Good deal.
This is the highlight of my day.
Well, good.
I get to meet you in person, finally.
Yeah, we've chatted off and on for years, and so it's nice to at least be in the same virtual room, I guess. So I know you have a puppy there. Our producer, Keith, has a puppy, and I hear that my grand dog, Decker, has arrived. So if we hear some barking in the background, well, that's just the joys of a live radio or live podcast.
I have to make a disclaimer though. My puppy snores. So if you think it sounds like an old man, if he's at my feet and you hear some snoring, I have one of those as well.
No doubt about it. My wife ends up punching me at night and we try to kick the little Maltese and he just growls at her. It just pisses him off.
Yeah.
So you are one busy lady. I am absolutely amazed at all you accomplished and certainly the ability to retire or step away from practice at 40 is phenomenal. Yeah, as you well know, many of our colleagues, chiropractors' exit strategy is often a pine box. Yeah, it's a pine box too many times. So kudos for that. I fortunately was able to do the same and after about 38 years and love practice, but I love life after practice as well. So many people know what you do. And as I may have mentioned, I'm more interested in why you do it, getting to the core of it. You were a founding member and served as the first board president of Women Chiropractors, an amazing group that we are part of and contribute to regularly. And you got over 9,000 members. We can't get 500 chiropractors to do anything together. You got 9,000 women that are part of this thing, which is absolutely amazing. Why were you so passionate about starting this group?
Wow, that could be a several hours conversation, but I'll give you Cliff Notes.
Go ahead, we got time.
No, truthfully, it wasn't until I just thought I was a doer. I guess, you know, there's 20% doers, 80% complainer. I was always a doer in my whole life, in high school, in college. And just do what you're asked and just show up. But it wasn't until, I think we all went through this, but years and years ago, the whole why, what you're going after, and the Simon Sinek, and we all listen. That's why this year I had heard, but you know, the whys and the Tony Robbins, peel the onion layers back. And I never did that. And I never really understood what motivated me until I truly did the hard work behind it. It's not just, I do it for my kids. I think we all do everything for our kids. I would say, for God, like athletes say, for God first, for my family second, right?
Right.
It wasn't that. I couldn't put a pulse on it. until I was going through the women chiropractors, and then people are like, what's your why? What's your, I'm like, I don't know. I just want to help women. I didn't have help. My life, and until I really peeled back the onion layers and both far and deep, did I realize that. So I am first generation in Canada, and so is my husband, first generation in America. Our parents didn't speak the language. That's a typical $20 suitcase, come here for a better life.
Wow.
Okay. Both my husband and I are born to the same, came in the 70s. I learned to write checks, Ray, in second grade when I learned cursive, because my parents didn't know how to write checks. So I was writing the checks to pay the bills.
They should teach our children that in schools. They can't balance a checkbook. That's a.
But you see where my first business thing, my first business thing came about. And when I tell you that, it was because I was very, I had to make life easier for my parents. There was an language barrier. My mother, they don't even teach phonics anymore in school. You remember our phonics books?
I remember phonics.
Phonics books. My mom would wait till we went to bed, and she did our, my mom and dad did their, our phonics books to learn English. So now, like, I speak English to my mother. I'm going to be 50. I speak English to my mother. She's been in this country more than she was from, she was born in Croatia, okay? So I did that. I learned something early on that I just had to show up, do things, because I wasn't asked. It was expected, right? Obligations, whatever.
Do what you have
to do. Then my dad died as a senior in high school.
Wow.
Leaving three little girls. I was the oldest. My dad was only 43. He had the condition that I didn't know about until my adult, like that it was genetic. Leaving my mom a 40-year-old widow with three high, like my little sister wasn't even in high school. So there's where my why started. I felt I didn't steal. My mom had a boy. She was not a stay-at-home mom. She helped run a business with my dad. We owned like a party store, but that's 7-Eleven, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay. She helped. She did the shifts. But she didn't go to the bank. She didn't do the bookkeeping. He did it all. She didn't even know that we owned the property, that my dad owned apartment buildings, real estate back in the 70s and 80s with his brother-in-laws. Then there was no will. There
you
was
really
no
didn't
will.
Have a choice, did you?
No. And yeah. So here I'm going to, I was accepted to other schools. I chose to stay home because I had to be, help be a mom to my little sisters. And I chose to stay home because I couldn't leave my mom and help run the business still. We had to step in going full-time university. I had to get a full-time job. And my sister, a year younger than me, helped my mom run the business while she was a senior in high school. We had no choice. We had to learn business quick. And we had to help my mother, and we had to figure it out. There was no mentorship. It was, and then there was pride and dignity. We didn't want to be the widow with three young daughters that like lost their home, lost their house, lost their business. We just figured it out. And thank God we had family members and uncles that really stepped in to show us the way, but we still did it.
Yeah.
We, all three of us, self-educated ourselves. We didn't have education funds. We put ourselves through school by working full time and doing it. So that started my why.
Yeah.
That my success didn't come from someone else's efforts. My success came from blood, sweat, and tears. And I realized that at an early age, I knew I was going to be successful in everything. And that's not, one of my core values is humility. So you don't see me like, I drive this and I do this. I live a very normal life because that is one of my core. Do I like things? Yes, don't be all. But the humility was there that I just had to, and pride, is I had to make my father proud. And I had to do this. But then I realized, like, let's fast forward now. That was when I was 18, got through high school, got through chiropractic school, and I'm going to do this on my own. And realized that I was, like, that's it. I was going to be, I had it in me to get successful. I had the confidence, and I had the support from my family that came without a doubt, right? And I was like, I was determined to be successful.
Yeah.
So I did everything in my power. And so when it came to the women chiropractors, I felt like kind of like my why was I didn't want anyone to be like my mom.
Wow.
And not have a solution and not have support. or need. I wanted to provide that support at any level of your career, right? So it just came innately, like we're
chiropractors. Extension of who you are.
Yes, yeah. I was already volunteering for my church, teaching study, all the important things. Not a lot of people know that the evolution of Women Chiropractors Organization. Yes, if her name has a Facebook group, Cindy and her kind of like, there was a few hundred people she started a few years before we hashed into some joined organization. I met her at a Michigan chiropractic conference, and I was sitting in like a restaurant area crying to my husband. It had been a few years, and I'm not a crier. Let me make sure I'm not a woe is me. But I went through this big thing that when I had to stop being the chiropractor that I dreamed of being because of my health, I kind of fell off the face of this earth. I was already told I can't practice because I want to get around for my children, right? So then I kind of fell off the face of this earth and hadn't gone to a MAC conference in God knows how long. So I decided to go. I realized that there was not one class there for me because it was all related to pain. I wasn't chiropractic anymore, so to speak. Yeah. It wasn't really business and leadership classes. I still own my practice. And 22 years later, I still own my practice. I am exaggerating. It's a half hour away. If I go into my practice, it was maybe 6 times last year, and it's only 30 minutes away from my house. I'm the CEO, I'm the visionary, and that's it.
Yep.
I have a COO. I have every position in there that runs the practice. I do get a fat check, which I'm proud of. And I get to do all the other stuff. Boom chiropractors, Chiroflex, my consulting, teaching for the MAC. I get to do what I'm passionate in still, and healing. I feel like it's still an aspect of healing, even though I'm not delivering the adjustment.
You know, that is something that I struggled with in starting ChiroHealth about 15 years ago. And it really took a lot of time out of the practice. And, you know, there's that part of you that really, really enjoys the one-on-one with patients. But as you may know, with ChiroHealth, you know, we're helping people get care that they might not otherwise afford. And so while I may not directly be helping people indirectly, you know, it's very rewarding to have an impact. And, you know, that's one of the things that historically in chiropractic we have not seen. You're either a chiropractor and you're adjusting, or there was no other option, no other career path, no other aspect to it, like in medicine where, you know, you could go into research, you could go into rehab. I mean, whatever, there are so many things that surround it. So I'm glad to see our profession beginning to evolve that way. I have to share one other story with you. You sound like your mother is your hero and your why. I don't know if I've had the opportunity to share with you and when we first got on the podcast today, I said, it's nice to see another Dr. Rose. Betty Rose Matthews was my mom, single mom, 3 kids, divorced, took off to chiropractic college, worked during the day as a vet tech, went to school at night. And guess who was there at her side every night at Bebout Chiropractic College? Me. So I jokingly tell folks I started chiropractic college in 1965. I graduated in 1985. Maybe a bit of a slow learner, but that's okay. But the thing that impacted me the most in seeing what my mom went through as a single mom, no support group, very few women in chiropractic at that time, is, you know, she had her practice in the front of the house. Me and my sisters and her lived in the back of the house. And you hear your mom crying one night and your sister says, "Mom, what's wrong?" And she says, "Honey, I'm down to my last 39 cents and I don't know where the next new patient's coming from." I wish to God that woman had had some type of support group, somewhere to go, someone to kind of lift her up and help her along the way. And I see an awful lot of that going on in Women DCs. That's one of the reasons we supported, and just an absolutely wonderful thing to see happen. Did you ever
envision? I think that's what we're most proud of is people don't know. They think it's a Facebook group.
Yeah.
They don't see what we're doing as an organization, as a nonprofit, that we've had, I think we're on a 7th year of the reentry program, and you know the reentry, Christy's taught in it. And we have probably, again, I stepped down as being president last year, so I don't know the metrics, but over 150 to 200 women brought back into practice.
That's phenomenal. Through
our mentorship. And We provide weekly mentorship for free to a group of women that apply. That what Cindy, and I commend Cindy on this, is when she was dealing with her own coming back into after having a life-changing situation, it was still like, how do you come back? You call your state association and they're like, well, is your license current? That's about it.
That's it.
That's it. It's your license current. So if you got your license current, you can come back. You haven't adjusted people in 5 years.
Right.
You don't know what's current in the GFEs. Like, you have to do Mill Surprise Act, this, that, all this compliance. You have no idea because you fell off the face of this earth for 5 years to be a mother or to take care, be a caregiver or whatever reason. And now you want to re-enter the profession. We don't have national guidelines. So the women chiropractors, we just made it. We just did it for the sake of helping these women come back.
Got it. So as more of the profession comprises women juggling, like you said, career, family, life, what do you think needs to change and how many men that might be in a position to hire, or even other lady doctors who might be full-time in their practice, what do we need to change in the way we think about hiring a female chiropractor who chiropractic is maybe what they do, but it's not all of who they are? And I know historically, I mean, true confessions, I can remember 15, 20 years ago when I would need an associate, I'll just admit it, I was really mindful of, well, I'm going to hire her. Is she going to get pregnant? Is, you know, is she going to have to take the kids to school? Is, because my deal was, hey, we start at 7 a.m, we're done at 6 p.m, and I don't hear any reason why you can't be here, which is, you know, sexist of me, admittedly.
No, but there's a different mindset.
It was, because that's the way I grew up and that's the way I operated. We have so many women that are in the profession now that I think there needs to be a change in the mindset or a shift in the way of thinking about when it does come to hiring a female chiropractor versus a male. We need to be more open to that. What do you think the guys like me, the old guys, need to change in their thinking to be more accommodating and to really be able to bring women into their practice? What are we doing wrong?
I don't know if it's what we're doing wrong, but in conversations that we're having right now, more brand-based like this, because awareness. So I was you, Ray, 8 years ago. I needed someone to cover me. Like, I needed a new associate, and I'll never forget this. A pregnant woman walked in for her interview. I think she was probably 6 or 7 months pregnant. And in the back of my head, I'm like, how am I going to get 36 hours a week out of her? And I didn't know she was pregnant coming into the interview. And then basically from the start is, just so you know, I want 6 to 8 weeks off, and the baby's due in 2 months.
There we go. Feed the beast. I love it.
I just said them a snack. So I was almost blindsided. I didn't know how to even pursue the next part of the interview because I'm doing numbers and I'm trying to factor how this would work and it's not going to work.
Yeah.
She asked me then, I can see that you're struggling. Would you entertain part-time? And in my head, was there ever such a thing as part-time chiropractic in your,
no,
in the 20?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. So it was a strong no for me.
Yeah.
But here now, the power of social media, I friended her. I watched her. Boy, did I lose out. Successful, part-time, mother, walked into clinic here in Michigan, that someone else hired her on the other side, an hour away.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that, like, I messed up. I judged. I quickly. So again, let's go to the conversation here that we post. What can we do about it? So we have to have that communication in interviews. I would say about 75% of the contacts that I look at don't even have a maternity clause in there at all.
It's not even a thought. Yeah.
It's not even a thought.
And let's make it all.
So let's start with planting with seeds. Just have the talk. What's a thought, and all else will come later, that you're open-minded about potential maternity leave or letting her go off part-time for the next 3-4 years, you're still going to get a stellar worker.
Absolutely.
Or employee. The other factor here is I find in the women chiropractors page and profession, and all the conversation that I have is, this is why more people are going young on their own, trying to do it on their own, because they don't get the associate role that is ideal for them at this time, or they think they could do it on their own because we pillage our young, so to speak. You hear this all the time.
Sure.
And I was just interviewed last week about this. Mentorship is what's missing. And I'm going to, not to offend you with your generation, but let's go back generations ahead. Where when I talked to Beth Zahn years ago, Clay Thompson's granddaughter, she said the mentorship was there. They got together cigars and highballs in the basement of someone's house with tables everywhere, and weekly they mentored each other. There was no competition. This one did this technique, this one did this technique, but there was mentorship. And what I find in most associateships right now, Ray, it is mentorship. I need to pop out more numbers. I want to go golf. I want a vacation. But the mentorship component is missing.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Well, listen, and I feel that if we mentored more in our associations, we wouldn't lose them.
Oh, I would agree. Well, listen, we're going to take about 30-second break to hear from our sponsors, and we will be back shortly. All right. Welcome back, everyone. We're having a conversation with Dr. Rosemary, and this is supposed to go 30 minutes today, but man, we're 25 minutes in and we're just getting started. I got a feeling we may hang on after the podcast and continue to chat. I'm really enjoying this. So I have another question for you. We're seeing enrollment in chiropractic colleges really shift more toward women, more than there ever have been. Why do you feel like more women are gravitating towards chiropractic as a career?
I think women, again, accessibility to chiropractic care. I only knew about chiropractic because I would follow my mom I would drive my mom or Bobus, or when her back was bad, I didn't know about chiropractic. So now more kids are being raised. Now, like, you know, I have chiropractic patients who now in college are like, hey, Dr. Mills, I'm thinking of being a chiropractor because of awareness and accessibility. They've been right. Where our generations, kids didn't go to the chiropractor. So more women and young women, and like my daughters, all her friends, they all know about chiropractic because chiropractic's in their life.
Yeah, they grew up around it.
So I think the accessibility awareness is there that chiropractic is a career, where only people of that age went to chiropractors 30, 40 years ago, where now it's mothers taking their 3 children for health and like, immune system. So I really think, I don't know, I can't say, there's probably research behind that, but I do believe that more people know about chiropractic, so women know that it's an option.
You know, it was years ago, one of my best friends that I went through chiropractic college with, he practices in Oklahoma, and they're on Harvard Boulevard. There must be 20 or 25 chiropractors on that one thoroughfare. Well, and there's probably, back then, there was probably 600-800, maybe 1,000 chiropractors in Oklahoma. Well, I came to Mississippi. We didn't license chiropractic until 1973, and there were less than 300 chiropractors in the state. And it really, it was like, why are so many chiropractors in Oklahoma, and all of them are just booming, and we barely have a footprint in Mississippi? And I truly believe that the more chiropractors there are, the more people are exposed to it. And all of those people were busy. So it was, the mindset was like, well, you ask someone in Oklahoma, do you see a chiropractor? And they go, well, of course. You ask somebody, do you see a chiropractor in Mississippi? And they go like, are you crazy? You know, yeah. And it's been interesting to watch the shift over time where more and more people are gravitating. And it's about damn time, I think.
I love it.
So you were not only apparently you still are a practice owner, but you've also started a new project, ChiroFlix. Nice name, by the way, very catchy. Doesn't resemble anything else out there in the market. Wink, wink. Can you share with us what ChiroFlix is and what was the why behind that?
The why is education. a platform where it's all about accessibility. And I learned it from the women, like, we couldn't go to, if you had to close on a Thursday, and like, this is not just women only, right? This is, you close on a Thursday to go to a seminar all weekend long and come back. Yes, do we lose revenue? Of course. But I always looked at it as an investment. But then here are the moms that are also like missing, like we saw single moms, whatever, your mom, you have daycare that you have to worry about. Yeah, your household to worry about, your kids' sports, this and that, that it was harder to get to.
Yeah.
Right? It was hard, the harder choices, and especially if they were not making the dollars that we were making as practice owners. How do you go to a Parker if you're only making $50,000 base salary?
Yeah.
And how are you going to take 3 days off? So again, it all comes back down to like accessibility. And I think this idea evolved during COVID where everything was Zoom, but then people got Zoomed out. So what I've been finding is through my own consulting, I mean, in 2025, online course program and coaching, like online courses are going to be a $285 billion industry.
I can believe that.
Now, this isn't, Chiroflix is the, let's say it, the Netflix for chiropractic, platform 24/7 that anybody in chiropractic can access. The chiropractic assistant, the office manager, the associate, the student, the owner, and you can watch at your leisure what you want, because the categories are like horror, romance, whatever. In Chiroflix, we're going to have revenue strategies, tax strategies, operations, HR, clinical stuff like peds, neuro, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have compliance, where a lot of our CHUSA stuff is going to come in, the compliance factor and the education around, like, we're going to have these categories that you could like binge watch what you need at your leisure. Now, I want to say that you're instrumental in one of the ideas behind it.
Oh, okay.
Christine understands. Your Thursday webinars at 1 o'clock have been a standing in my office for many, many years.
Awesome.
And what I do in my own consulting is, are you a CHUSA member? Yeah. So why are you, did you know that there's a soap note documentation class this Thursday? Why don't you just buy pizza on a Thursday and have your whole team watch it? You don't have to come up with a meeting topic.
Right.
So when I was going through my issues with my health and that, I was like, what am I going to teach? I was a legionate, not having a meeting, just a talk in circles. I wanted to educate. So I was like, okay, Debbie, she's been with me for almost 20 years, my office billing manager. I'm like, find something in the archives that are going to apply to us, and we're watching a CHUSA webinar for lunch. That's, I'm awesome. Ordering pizza.
Well, that makes it worthwhile.
What's that?
I said, that makes it worth the while for the time, effort, and energy. Christy did an amazing job with those. And
I'm going to put out there is, if people haven't gone through your archives, you have some of the most talented speakers on there. And like, people, not only talented, they're paying it forward and making sure that there's no reason that you don't succeed. So now you have these tools. So I wanted to bring it all together in Chiroflix. A part of this was that everybody in different levels of their career can also just like succeed. There's a lot of people. Now we see the shiny people on stage. You know all the names on stage that are the shiny brands.
Sure.
But in chiropractic, we have geniuses
that aren't can teach. You're right.
That have so much to give. And they just don't know where to start, or they don't have the hubspot to get on stage and talk in front of 500 people.
So maybe what you're creating is kind of the TikTok for the next generation of people who are going to be on the stage.
So it's twofold. There's a subscription aspect where chiropractors can be $29. Watch unlimited 50-minute, 20-minute, 30-minute like content for free. Like, well, they're paid $29. But my platform partners are giving me content to educate.
That's
but
awesome.
Then on the flip side, I think paid it play, like pay per view.
Mm-hmm.
You have something, I say, like Christy and I were talking about this. How many people have, even your Google Drive right now, How much content do you have recorded that's catching cobweb?
Oh, tons.
So let's put that on to educate so that people know about JUSA. But then the profitability thing and the business plan around this is that JUSA does well as well. Or if you have a module, if a coach has a 6-part module to something, they can sell it on Chiroflex. But they've also done their educational component.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We're loading videos. It looks beautiful on the inside. We have 47 platform partners at Whitney signed up. We're just waiting for the content.
Awesome.
And the second phase of this raise, to be honest with you, is start to bring in CEs and sponsors. Just like GS sponsors, is to bring in awareness and sponsorship. So this is a real ultimate education platform for every chiropractor to succeed and be educated on.
That's awesome. So, you know, we've both worked in chiropractic for a few decades now. Where do you see the profession heading in, say, the next 5 to 10 years? What do you see as our maybe biggest challenge and our biggest opportunity moving forward as a profession?
What you're doing at the higher levels and what Christy's doing, you know, with all the, let's call it the pounding of the pavement politically, nationally, that is great. I commend you guys because we need more leaders. Not ACA, ICA leaders. We just need more leaders to create. Like Christy's not even a chiropractor, but I believe that she gets a diplomat in chiropractic.
Well, I bet if we checked her DNA, there would be a DC in there somewhere.
I agree. But you see, she's not even a chiropractor, but she's a leader in her profession. So now they have to motivate, starting in school and in at our state levels, is get more leaders. And I always say, I'm always asked to get on the board and do this at the MAC. And I'm like, I don't do politics. I do education.
Right.
I'm on the education unit. I will keep at every seminar you have because that's what I'm passionate in. But it's still servant leadership. I'm serving my state association whenever they need me to provide services for them to educate and empower. I think we need more leadership across the board. That it doesn't have a title over it, and it doesn't have, it's leadership in chiropractic.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the reasons that we sponsor, we have the Foxworth Family Scholarship that was dedicated to my mom and dad, both of who were chiropractors. And part of that process is when they apply, there's some essay involved, but it really is, it's $25,000 a year scholarship, $10,000 to the student, $10,000 to the college, and $5,000 what I call beer and pizza money to the student. That's really why they apply, I think, for the beer and pizza mm-hmm. money. But the intent behind that was to help us find more our future leaders and mm-hmm. to encourage them and support them. So I agree. You know, the days of the chiropractors griping, bitching, and moaning about all the problems going on, but they don't join their association. They don't join the national associations. They don't get involved. You know, you kind of get out of this profession what you put into it. And so growing our leadership, I think, is imperative.
So leadership and mentorship.
We're kind of rounding the corner now. So I've got some just for fun questions. What's the worst job you ever had?
I've never had a bad job.
Well, there you go. That's never. Awesome.
Even in high school.
That is wonderful to hear.
I worked at a hardware store in high school, and I loved every minute of it.
My gut is that's just part of who you are, that whatever you're supposed to be doing, you do, and you make it what you make it. Yeah.
Grit.
Yeah. So you mentioned helping your mom a lot. I'm just curious, who is your hero and why?
My mom. I'm there crying.
Yeah. I usually do as well on that one. What's your superpower?
I'm a connector. I connect everybody. I have a personal part missing.
That's awesome.
And I connect just through compassion and kindness. You don't ever hear a bad thing out of my life. That's who I am.
That's awesome. Here's one. What's your spirit animal?
A lion. I can be fierce, but in a kind, like, I'm very determined.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to my motherhood, too.
Yeah. Kind of that mm-hmm. don't mess with me.
But I've never, you know, it's so funny because I had to kind of raise myself as like first generation here. So I didn't have a helicopter parents. They all worked. We had to kind of figure things out on our own. I never helicopter parents. But now as my kids are 18 and 20, I find myself more wanting to be in their lives versus managing their lives, right? So yeah, it's a lioness.
Yeah. So what's the best way for people to learn more about Chiroflix? You said it, you're still loading content. Is it open now for people to go?
No, we haven't launched it yet.
What's your target date?
So it was supposed to be end of February. We're looking probably beginning of April. Again, we're at the mercy of people sending us videos.
Got it.
So until they record it, and Netflix didn't open the two movies. They opened with enough. So my quantity, I want to make sure that first person that pays a subscription will get a night's worth of binge watching anything in hard traffic.
Sure. Yep. Gotta have the episodes in the can, as they say.
Yep. Yep. So you can find, follow us on social media, Chiroflix. They can find me on social media. There's a link everywhere that they can, if they want to be a platform partner and teach or make some money on Chiroflix, they can reach out to me personally and I'll get them on calendar.
Great. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us today, Rosemary. It's been an absolute joy to get to know you. I still look forward to meeting you in person.
And thanks for meeting up in Florida.
Beg your pardon?
Let's meet up in Florida. I think people spend a lot of fun in Florida.
Yep. Well, we're headed to Orange Beach today after this podcast, but we do get down to Florida several times a year. So thanks, everyone, for listening to our Chirosphere podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends and let us know who you'd like to hear from in the future. And also any topics that might be of interest to you, whether they're directly related to chiropractic or not. We'll do our best to get all the requests filled. Until then, give us a call if you're interested in joining ChiroHealth USA, the network that works for chiropractic and for you.